T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
9 o'clock, Sports Radio 94, WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard on the phone lines here. And you know what we do every night at 9 o'clock? We do a little Clearwater check-in. We check in with the Phillies. A rare off night, actually. Or off day, I should say, for the Phillies. No baseball today. They did play yesterday against the Yankees. It was a Wheeler day. The center field battle continues. And the Phillies here, as they process this whole spring training thing, the more we go through it, the more what's obvious here is the bullpen just looks way better. There's more depth here. And the question marks at center field continue to grow, including Odubel Herrera. Let's check in with all of the Philly stuff as we are just a little over 3 weeks until opening day. Scott Lauber of the Philadelphia Inquirer joining us right now for a Clearwater check-in. Scott, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Scott, doing well. Watched some of the Phillies yesterday, and the biggest story continues to be center field and what it's going to be. And Scott, as time progresses here, how would you assess Odubel Herrera's chances of making this team?
Well, they're better than they were a week ago. That's for sure. I wouldn't go calling him the favorite just yet. But, you know, if we were having this conversation last Monday night, he hadn't played his first game yet. We still weren't sure how often he was going to play as a member of the minicamp. It's clear now that he's going to play a decent amount. It's also clear he's probably going to play even more than we thought because Adam Haseley's out of the competition. So with a groin injury, that's going to probably keep him out beyond opening day, or at least right up until opening day. So his chances are better than they were before. And I think, you know, I think if there weren't other non-roster invitees who were looking like they were going to make the team, like Brandon Kinstler, like Tony Watson, like maybe Matt Joyce, I think you'd think his chances were even better because, you know, if you've got to clear one spot on the 40-man, it's a whole lot easier than if you have to clear four. But he is very, very much in the midst of this competition, which I wouldn't have said a week ago.
Scott, let me throw this at you. You mentioned the 40-man stuff, and it is a hurdle for the Phillies. They have a lot of guys who might be knocking on the door to make the team that aren't on the 40-man roster, which means spots have to be cleared. And you threw in Matt Joyce's name there. Scott, can I make the argument with the Matt Joyce thing and Herrera that Odubel's ability to play center field, you know, I'm not even sure how well he could play it anymore, but just to play it, if they're going to have to clear a spot for one of those guys, wouldn't it make more sense to clear it for a guy who gives them an option in center field? I mean, Matt Joyce is basically a corner outfielder or a pinch hitter. At least Odubel could play center field.
True. You know, that sets him apart from Joyce. I do wonder, look, you know, you could send Odubel Herrera to AAA, or the alternate site, I guess, is what it'll be early in the season. He's going to make the same salary no matter what. And he's not going to ask to be released because if that were the case, you know, he'd be – or he's not going to decline the assignment because he's not going to forego the money that he's going to make down there. He'd be the highest – you know, one of the higher – probably the highest paid player in AAA. Matt Joyce has got, you know, not an opt-out, but he's got a retention bonus, which means the Phillies would have to pay him $100,000 to go to AAA and keep him around. You wonder whether just from a flexibility standpoint you could option – Odubel Herrera and retain him. He could come back up later. You know, you might be at more risk of losing a guy like Matt Joyce if he thinks he's got a better chance at playing somewhere else.
Well, that's a big deal, right? And that all the politics of here of these contracts, these opt-outs, these retention clauses, they will play into it here, and that will be part of the mix for center field. Scott, then there's the bullpen, and I know it's early and it's spring training, but It just feels like night and day, Scott, to the point where I'm trying to, you know, make my little roster projection here and guess who's going to be on this roster. It feels like there's too many good relievers. Like someone has to get cut from this bullpen that probably should latch on, or you would say, man, he didn't make the team. What's your feeling on this bullpen so far, which just feels like it has so many more major league caliber pitchers than a year ago?
Yeah, it has that feel. And look, we don't want to get carried away here. So Friday was the day that they trotted out, you know, really all their new guys in that bullpen, with the exception, I mean, Kinsler had already pitched. Watson didn't pitch until yesterday. But, you know, that was the day they brought out Bradley and Alvarado and Coonrod, along with Brogdon and Romero and Neris, who were the holdovers from last year. You saw those guys all, you know, one after another on Friday. And what you saw was a lot of velocity, a lot of strikes, guys who look like major league caliber relief pitchers. And, you know, again, it was the Pirates. It was their traveling squad. I defy you to name three guys in that lineup that those guys faced. But it was a really good first impression for a lot of those guys. And, you know, I go back, and I know we've talked about this on your show, and I've written about this a lot. 10 days or so before the start of last season, I remember talking to Brian Price, and we were talking about their bullpen. And he said, you know, you've got Neris in the ninth, and you've got Tommy Hunter coming back off an injury. He's a veteran guy. And then you're really hoping to catch lightning in a bottle. And those were his words. And I remember thinking, like, wow, they're in trouble, because it's 10 days before the start of the season. It might have been even less. And he's talking about lightning in a bottle in the bullpen after only, you know, naming two guys or three guys. That was not a good bullpen from day one last year, and they didn't have much of a chance. So now at least you've got guys who have stuff, who have velocity, who have swing and miss kind of stuff. And if they can throw strikes, and that's been an issue for a guy like Coonrod throughout his career, it's been an issue at times for Alvarado. If they can throw strikes and they can harness their stuff, they should be able to get guys out. And I don't think they're looking for lightning in a bottle quite as much as they were last year. I think they're just looking for guys to pitch to their level. And if they do that, they'll be okay.
Scott Lauber, the Inquirer, joining us here talking to Phillies Clearwater Check-In. Scott, you wrote about Caleb Cotham, the new pitching coach, and the returns early seem to be very positive and favorable, and it seems like the pitchers down there believe in what he's teaching and how he's teaching it. And I just go to the track record of where he's come from. And Cincinnati has had a really good job the last couple of years of taking pitchers that looked like it just was going the wrong way, a Sonny Gray, Kevin Gausman, and they're with that staff, and Cotham was an assistant pitching coach there, and then they leave Cincinnati. Or they stay there and they're good. So it makes me interested in what he could be here for these guys, especially guys that have stuff but maybe haven't put it all together, like a Coonrod or a Alvarado's been a little off the last couple of years. It feels like they may have something here with this young pitching coach.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think the first thing that they're hoping they have is a guy who they can keep around for a while. I mean, he's their fifth pitching coach in 5 years, and they would really, really like him to put an end to that streak. You know, they'd like to keep this guy for more than 1 year, and they'd like him to do a good job, and they'd like him to get guys better as the year goes on, and not the other way around. You know, what I hear from a lot of pitchers is, you know, take a guy like Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola makes no bones about it. He's not a high-tech guy. He's not into the, you know, all the technology and all the analytics. And Caleb Cotham, who speaks that language very fluently, and he's grounded in that philosophy. He's not trying to force that on a guy like Aaron Nola. He's like, okay, look, you don't want me to clutter your head with all kinds of information. I'm not going to do that. And Joe Girardi was saying that doesn't mean, though, that he's not going to find a way to use it. You know, in other words, you know, maybe Cotham finds something or sees something and is able to introduce that in a bullpen session without flooding Nola with data and details and things like that. Different pitchers respond to different things. Chase Anderson is an interesting guy. He pitched in Milwaukee for Derek Johnson, who is Caleb Cotham's mentor. He was Cotham's pitching coach at Vanderbilt and the pitching coach in Cincinnati when Cotham was an assistant. And he said, you know, a lot of the lingo and terminology from Cotham is the same as what he was used to under Derek Johnson. And then there's this incorporation of, you know, looking at the slow motion video camera and looking at this. And Anderson said, I'm interested in it to a point, but I don't want to go overboard. And I think Cotham so far, it seems like, is good at realizing what these guys are interested in learning introducing what they want and then also using it himself to help them get to where they need to be. So it's really early, 3 weeks in. I think guys are still getting to know him and vice versa. So far, the returns are positive.
Scott, last one for you here. We have a couple of weeks to go, and you know, injuries might happen, and different things will take care of themselves. But you know, we were just talking through the pitchers that they might have too many almost, and one guy might have to go to AAA. Have you thought about the roster in terms of numbers and where they might go heavy or light? 26 guys. They will have no DH this year, which means the bench plays more of a role in games pinch hitting. I remember a couple of years ago, they went light on the bench, and it seemed like late in games, Gabe Kapler, then the manager, would almost twist himself out of options. You know, when he would get aggressive with a pinch hitter in the sixth inning, we get to the ninth, and he doesn't have much left there. Five-man bench would be natural. Do you think they could go four and go with an extra arm just to have the arm here?
So I asked Joe Girardi that question recently, and he said he's leaning toward towards 13 pitchers and 13 position players. That's what he would like. Now, of course, he could change his mind. He could decide at the end of camp, given how built up or not built up certain guys are, that maybe he needs an extra arm. So he's leaving it open that he could go with 14 pitchers, but he's thinking 13. And if he goes with 13, that means eight relievers, an eight-man bullpen. And, you know, Neris and Bradley are the locks in that bullpen. Alvarado is about a lock or close to it. That leaves five more if you're going to carry eight. And, you know, you're probably going to have Brogdon. You're probably going to have Romero. You'd like to have Kinsler. You may want Watson. And then you need a long guy, maybe Vince Velasquez. So, you know, you could play with it a little bit. Romero and Brogdon both have options. They could always go down without having to clear waivers. That's always a factor at the end of spring training, who has options and who doesn't. David Hale is an interesting guy as a veteran who's out of options. Maybe they want to keep him around. Seems like to have as many bodies and as much flexibility as they can. So there is going to be competition there for those last few spots in the bullpen. And then what do you do with Spencer Howard? And that's a whole other story that we could probably do a full segment on, is in terms of, like, how do you best utilize him early in the season? Is it out of the bullpen if he doesn't win a spot in the rotation? So they are going to have some decisions on that pitching staff, but ultimately, if they all stay healthy, I think they're probably decisions that Joe Girardi wouldn't mind having to make, because it means choosing between some good arms.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And Scott, one last thing. I know I said the last question, but I wanted to just I wasn't sure. I was trying to remember your path and your career. Did you happen to cross paths when you were covering the Phillies and or Red Sox with Riel Cormier? He passed away today, age of 53. From everything I've read, I mean, he seemed like a wonderful guy. He was a good relief pitcher for a while. Did you know Riel?
I did. He was on the first Phillies team I covered in 2006. And everything you've read, I can say for a fact was true. I mean, he was a really good guy, very grounded. I remember him being a guy that you could have a conversation with. Look, I mean, I was a 30-year-old reporter covering Major League Baseball on a daily basis for the first time. And, you know, it was nice to have guys that you could just have a normal, everyday conversation with. Not to say you couldn't with some of the bigger names, but they were some of the bigger names. And so they were a little less available. You could always go to his locker and you could always just chit-chat. He was Canadian. We talked hockey a bunch of times. Just a really super nice guy, and a huge loss, I think, for everyone who knew him. So we send out our condolences, and, you know, it's just a terrible loss.
Yeah, it is. 53 years old. Very sad story. Scott, always appreciate you hopping on. We'll be reading at the Inquirer, and let's chat soon. Thank you.
You bet. Anytime, Joe.
There you go. Scott Lauber, The Inquirer. Yes, Riel Cormier, 53 years old. I'm trying to remember how many years he was here, but he was maybe 5 years or so?
I think parts of 5 years.
Yeah, he was a good – I think from my memory, he had one really good year here. I mean, I think a couple maybe in Boston, but I feel like he had one here that was just outstanding. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle.
vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.